The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, two of Jesus' followers were going to visit a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had seen, indeed, a vision of angels who said that he was still alive. Some of those who were with him went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So we went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' So that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Alleluia! The Lord is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed! Alleluia!
How many of you have seen Beauty and the Beast? Either the new one or an older rendition. I know some of you have seen the older rendition. Seen the play or maybe read the fairy tale. We just went to the new movie the other night. Do you remember the part when, just as the last petal of the red rose fell off the stem, the beast dies and the clock stops? Belle is heartbroken and is moved to proclaim her love for the beast. All hope of being turned back into a human was lost. Not just for him, but also for the clock Cogsworth, for Lemur, poor Chip and Mrs. Potts, all of them, all destined to die, still trapped in a configuration, a way of being, a condition that was not real, not true. And then, right when all hope was lost, right before our eyes, the beast turned from a rather scary-looking, gruff creature into a handsome prince. The whole household erupted, spun, and burst back into their humanness. It was a magical moment filled with love, romantic love, familial love, friendship love. The castle is rejuvenated, and springtime arrives in full bloom. We got to see everything right before our eyes, start to finish. We see the beast and the whole household resurrected. Have you ever noticed that no one in the Bible stories actually saw Jesus resurrected? We don't see the actual event, but the entirety of Christian scripture and the experience of the early church is formed in it and affected by it. Perhaps we don't see the actual event because it's not really relevant. The actual resurrection event is not the most important part. One of the things that is important is that the resurrected Jesus enters the world as it is, with frightened, discouraged, devastated disciples, either locked up in Jerusalem or getting away from the crucifixion nightmare that had just happened. Jesus enters the world as it is, with a society that has turned into a beast and people who have lost their humanity. Jesus enters the world as it is, the world that has been created by all the actions, inaction, love, hatred, abuse, care, forgiveness, and lack of forgiveness, all that has happened in the past that culminates in the present moment. Jesus enters into the world as it is, and what does he do? He pronounces peace and forgiveness, and then continues to reveal God, even to his traveling companions, who are slow of heart. It is this after effect of the resurrected Jesus entering the world as it is that holds the power and the promise. The promise of forgiveness and the power to evolve to become something new as a society and as individuals, even when neither of these seem to be within the realm of possibility. Repentance, a turn of heart, a willingness to die to ways of being that are not life-giving, ushers in God's forgiveness that raises the beast physically. But there is something even more surprising that it does. When the beast in any of us repents and asks for forgiveness for sins that have resulted in some form of alienation, that have made us in some way dead, as individuals and as a society, God takes that entire past, not just that moment, and transforms it. That which caused anger, disappointment, even rage from abuse, subjugation, or lack of opportunity can start to take on new dimensions. Pain can be viewed little by little from a different lens, and hope is born. God's forgiveness does not change the fact of the pain and anguish in the beast's past, but it does use it to create a new present that reaches into the future. Jesus' wounds do not disappear even in his new resurrection body. What about the complacency of the village, the violence and systemic injustice in society? Is that transformable? Savable? The stories of the resurrected Jesus tell us that it is indeed. The resurrected Jesus continued to reveal God to his disciples and to his companions on the road to Emmaus. Jesus' traveling companions experienced the light of Christ as a burning in their hearts as they listened to God's word. They recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. They continued to take and eat, and they were empowered by God's Spirit to go out and tell the story of God's transforming love and healing power to a violent, fearful society. Do you remember the part in Beauty and the Beast at the very end? The whole village hears the story that the beast is really a prince, that the whole household has changed into their true selves. They heard the story that genuine mutual love, loving one another deeply from the heart, is possible. The disciples told the story of God's transforming love. They offered radical hospitality that insists there are no beasts among us, no outsiders and insiders. And they acted by going into the world as it is, and found ways to work for reconciliation, healing, and justice. This is still what we as Christians are called to do. Sometimes we as the body of Christ fail to live up to our divine calling. Sometimes the church, the body of Christ, is in need of deep reflection, self-examination, and repentance. We are nonetheless commissioned by Christ, not by our fallible selves, to proclaim the love of God to a hurting world, and given the power to act by the pouring out of God's Spirit. Give God an opening, an opportunity, and God will transform both individually and societally. It is God's very nature to do so. Jesus himself said it out loud, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." God, the I am, is resurrection. God is life. That is what we as Christians proclaim, and in that proclamation, there is hope for the world that God enters as it is. God's answer to violence and death will always be resurrection. Amen.